playing downhill. They were talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo as playing downhill in a basketball game as if the court was slanted. Would you find that a little odd if we found out that the court in Milwaukee was actually on a tilt? How on earth was this man playing downhill? What exactly does that mean? That he's smashing into people with impunity on his way to the basket and the refs are calling nothing? Did you see Monty Williams after the game? Nothing!
That's
about a little help here! The British Open. I like that they have Venus flytraps lining the fairway. They just suck the ball in.
No one says anything. They're like, that's normal.
You're expecting to find like a couple of old World War II rifles in the sand traps instead of a rake. How is this course? I don't know. Royal St. George's. Is it like, you know, one of those old school British Open courses? I mean, they're all old school.
I was going to say, is there anyone different? Is there anyone that looks like Pebble Beach? They always look like it's, like you said yesterday, like in the middle of a war-torn country. Yeah. And then, here, go play golf now, guys. Like, that's how it looks every time. It's like a disaster.
I think when Charles Dickens wrote the opening scene in Great Expectations, he was at a British golf course. Probably sitting in the clubhouse. Unbelievable. No, Italian over French food. Get out of here.
Yes, I agree.
Not even a question. Give me a chicken parm over anything they have on the menu at a French restaurant.
Would you like the pigeon?
I don't want some small bird that tastes like crap. Get out of here. I don't care what kind of sauce you put on it, Frenchie. You sound like Francois Lebec. Should Connaughton be playing soccer? That guy is a flopping machine. He looks like he got hit in the head by Larry Holmes every time somebody drives on him. Meanwhile, he's like got his hands in their shorts. I mean, he's all over the guy, you know, like a cheap suit. And he gets a few of these calls, and then they review him, and you're looking, and you're going, my God, how could anybody allow that farce to go ahead and persist?
The time!
Wake up with Defo, joined by Luby. Welcome to The Defo Show.
Tombstone territory, Luby. Tombstone territory for those that thought the Bucks were dead after two games of the series. I don't know that we were guilty of that entirely. We did dismiss Piscataway Ray as being in need of some kind of psychotic drug to calm his nerves down when he felt that the Bucks were still very much alive in that series. That didn't appear to be the case. You were thinking maybe 5-6 game Suns, and it turned out to be anything but. As the Bucks, congratulations, 50 years, is that tantamount? I didn't hear about any curses. Is it the curse of Paul Mokeski? What do you think afflicted the Milwaukee Bucks? Rachel Nichols clearly came into play there, and that would be one of our big questions today. By the way, good morning again, everybody. Great to be with you here on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Jeff DeForest and Luby Brown, Mike Luby Lubitz, who did correctly predict that the Bucks would prevail last night, that this series was over.
Oh, yeah.
I was begging for a Game 7. I was hoping it would take place. I got a little bit of encouragement as the Phoenix Suns seemed to rally and get it together in the second quarter. We knew that they were on shaky turf, far from being on, as Albert Castillo would say, solid ground, name of one of his fine CDs. It didn't look to be the case. 47-42 at halftime, low-scoring affair. The Suns rallied. They outscored. I guess they won that quarter by what, 18 points? They were down 13 after one, Luby, and it looked to be El Finito time. So now you have rise for hope that there will be a Game 7. And personally, I didn't care who won the series. I was just rooting for a Game 7 for some stupid reason. Why? Because it's getting harder and harder to watch the Marlins.
Exactly. That's why.
I need some more basketball. Oh, you're not going to start talking about free agency and Damian Lillard all offseason, are you, Mike Lubitz? Because I want to have a moratorium on that until. No, really. I mean, you should bag that for a while, no? Other times, it was interesting when Durant was floating around and there were like several other big stars and you didn't know where they were going to end up. But it's kind of like the Aaron Rodgers talk, isn't it? If all we're going to talk about is Damian Lillard during the offseason in NBA basketball. Now, if the Heat could get this guy, does there appear to be no shot of that whenever you discount Pat Riley from being part of an equation and making a big acquisition? He somehow does it. He surprised us kind of with Jimmy Butler. Did that not come as a little bit of a mild surprise to you, that was the move a couple of years ago, Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, it was impossible. That's why I don't think Lillard is impossible. That's the only reason why I'm excited. Is it's like, if he's going to ask for a trade, where else, would he rather go with the Knicks? Like, they're not going to win. Like, the Heat have proven they can win time and time again. So that's why I'm even talking about it. I would normally have focused more on the finals. However, the combination of these two teams, which I didn't think either belonged there, and the Lillard possibility made me turn my attention there. But yay, Bucks.
We don't need another bricklayer. We don't need Ben Simmons.
No.
Sorry, Pat, if you're interested in this guy, we're opposed to it. I can't watch a guy that can't hit a basket. I mean, it's rough. And that was pretty much true. Luby, you're right about that. The Phoenix so-called role players did not rise to the occasion whatsoever. Chris Paul wasn't bad in the ball game. He wasn't brilliant. And Devin Booker was being, I don't know that he was being bottled up. He wasn't taking that many shots. I guess he was played well enough to not get in a position to score his usual 40 as he was doing throughout much of the playoffs, but did have 19 points in the game. And yet it did seem like that Milwaukee seized control, got all the momentum gathered in the third quarter, then ended up in a dead heat. They went to the fourth quarter tied, I believe somewhere like 77 all. And it was game on from there. Milwaukee prevails. 105-98, the final. Were they the best team in the NBA?
No.
What do you think?
Not even close.
Was it close? Were they close to being the best team in the NBA? They were about to get just pushed into the gutter by the Brooklyn Nets, even though the Nets didn't have James Harden in the early going. And when he came back, he was a shell of himself. They still had to be extended to seven games after dropping the first two in such ugly fashion against the Brooklyn Nets that you would have given them 0.0. Plutarski chance of winning the NBA title. And everything seemed to fall correctly for him. They did rally in this series, though. You would have to give him credit. Mike Budenholzer, I mean, tell me this guy wasn't a shot fighter. He was finished, right?
Yes.
He would have been lucky to get a job in the developmental league as an assistant. People thought so little of this guy's coaching acumen. And he was getting out-coached by Monty Williams, who has this great humanitarian story, you know, with the tragedies that happened in his lifetime and the close relationship he has with Chris Paul, which has evolved even further. I mean, these guys are really tight. Chris Paul, was he the single biggest reason that Phoenix lost this series because of the sit-down interview he did with Rachel Nichols?
Yes, 100%.
I keep coming back to that, Luby. That's hard to dodge, that whole concept.
Well, the fact that he openly turned down an interview early, because, you know,
right, he's aware. And they were winning.
And yes, they wore up. Then all of a sudden, for some inexplicable reason, in the middle of the series, when they still have momentum, he sits down with her, and instantly, the momentum's gone.
This SEC Media Days, I mean, does that get way more attention than it's worthy of? What do these coaches really say when they get up there at the podium?
Well, Nick's,
I mean,
always,
if one of them would just say, hey, I think Nick Saban is a complete a-hole, and by the way, he's been cheating forever, and this whole new system here, you can already see he's taking advantage of that. He got some pawn shop to pay his quarterback $1 million. I mean, these are guys, Tuscaloosa's equivalent of the money store in terms of credibility. Although our friend Jamma John Summers says that he worked for the money store and those guys were legit. Juice was pretty serious there.
Yeah,
it
sure
was never
exactly
off. Even if you were deceased, if they found
yeah, exactly
a distant relative, you know, you were responsible, right? It's on you. That's what they said to Matt Damon, right? You're going to vouch for this fool? You got to be kidding me. The Bucks, though, I mean, we'll never have anything like the Bucks did. That was amazing, wasn't it, to watch that from a fan standpoint? Do you ever see South Florida fans responding like the Bucks fans did and showing up 65,000 strong to stand outside, crammed in like sardines, my friend? Huh? Sardines. They were crammed in there, and they were loving it. We could never pull that off here in South Florida.
We actually have lives.
that's your implication? You know, that's a fair one.
We have a lot going on.
That's a good comeback by you.
They don't have a beach.
There's too much to do. You're going to use the too much to do theory? I mean, that's always the excuse that we make for the Miami Dolphin fans, that they don't show up to games. Well, you know what? You can go kite surfing.
It's the truth,
right? Like, take a chance on splatting yourself into a condominium instead of going to a ball game and watching some kind of greatness on the athletic field. All right, coming back with more. You believe that we'll actually catch up with this man? He is elusive, man. You talk about stick and move, Dino.
He's
Spencer.
Almost back. I think he finally is back on American shores. So hopefully.
Did he just fly in? What's the deal?
I think last night his foray in Italia, I think, is coming to a close, and I'm hoping we'll get him on in this hour.
Okay. See what happens with that. Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel going to be with us. We'll give away some Marlin tickets right around 8 o'clock, so stick around for that. And also Jason Cole on the National Football League. Training camp's less than a week away. Ron Rothstein, a little postscript on the NBA season, and we'll try and get a little feeler out there for what he thinks might transpire during the offseason. Mike Mayo, the gambling gourmet on an Even Keel Wednesday here on the ALT Defoe Show, 940 Wins, 1230 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Jeff DeForest, Mike Luby Lubitz, very happy to be with you on this Even Keel Wednesday. And returning in a moment with more. Now that.
The time.
It's 7:15. The Dolphins, no chance. So what's less than nothing? There's your poll question.
What's less than
day.
Nothing?
What is less
the Dolphins.
Than nothing?
The Dolphins are less than
that
nothing.
That could be on a billboard with, like, the Dolphin logo, no? Dolphins football. What is less than nothing?
And then a dolphin.
I'm sorry I'm doing this. I really am, Olivia. I apologize to all of you that have been listening faithfully for years.
The morning just isn't right without Defoe. We now return to the Defoe Show.
All right, coming up in about 10 minutes, your first edition of the Defoe Files, brought to you by the amazing people at Deal Volkswagen. Following that, we'll talk to the man when it comes to sports in South Florida, when it comes to writing about it, especially Dave Hyde from the Sun Sentinel will join us at about 7:35, coming up at about 8:50-something, 50-ish, 8:55. Luby's Law, brought to you by Horizon Public Adjusters. Justina Testa, give them a call. Any home or office issues, 954-809-8752. Following that, we'll have Mike Mayo on this Even Keel Fish Shack Wednesday at about 9:05. If you miss anything on the show, check out our podcast, iRadio app, iHeartRadio.com, keyword Defo, D-E-F-O. You can always hit us up on Twitter at Defo Show and at Luby Wins.
Way to go, DeShambo. No, that was good. You dropped in about 17 sponsors. That was fantastic. That's what we're all about here on the ALT Defo Show. We love these guys. Without them, we don't exist. Right? Bezos, by the way, did find one of my packages up there
nice.
In outer space yesterday.
Nice.
So that was nice.
Good.
It had been floating around there for about 3 weeks. Some important documents. Hey, Jeff! No, that was great, right? 10 minutes in outer space. Now, the other two people, I can't imagine he charged his brother to go on that flight. Right? Jeff's got plenty of money.
Nah,
obviously, if you've got enough money to build your own rocket ship. Did he charge the other two people? Wasn't there some deal where civilians were going to pay like $2.5 million to fly? Did that teenage kid have $2.5 million?
I think that's going forward. I think, remember, that's what they want to make this. Eventually, the goal is to have like a hotel in space and then fly people to the hotel and treat it like, I guess, like a resort kind of a thing. But right now, I think it's just testing. So I don't know if you could charge anyone when you really don't know how safe it is.
I want to be like that 82-year-old woman 12 years from now. My God. The woman that flew with Bezos yesterday?
Okay.
Yeah, she was going to be an astronaut, but then they decided no women, and so she kind of got discriminated out of a dream thing, and she always wanted to go into space, and she goes up there, and what a spirit this woman had. 82, Luby.
Good for her.
You're dragging around early in the morning at 38. This woman at 82 is going into outer freaking space with Jeff Bezos.
That's amazing.
Fantastic.
I'm jealous.
God, she dug every second of it, man. She was ready to go. All right, the ALT Defoe Show on this fine Wednesday, Even Keel Wednesday, Even Keel Fish Shack. Luby mentioned that. And happy hour is dynamite over there, 4 to 7. Every afternoon they have just amazing specials. I know you're a little bit resentful of the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo powering his way to the basket kind of reminds me. I was watching this movie again last night. The war scenes are pretty incredible. In Saving Private Ryan, doesn't Giannis's approach to the basket on offense look very much like the storming of Omaha Beach?
Yes.
By the American soldiers in Saving Private Ryan. I mean, it's a bloodbath. My God. They've got position on us, and it doesn't matter, I mean, to the officials there, especially this, is it coincidence that Foster, Silver must have had money on
exactly.
The Bucks and six, and he must have put it down when they were down in the second quarter of game three, and it looked like they were going to get annihilated in four games, and the 220 Tommy was finally going to be right about something, and instead, Mush City, what happens, and you have to credit Jersey Kyle sometimes for being able to read the signs from the gods of gambling.
Yep.
I know you don't like to give credit to Jersey Kyle here on the show. You bury all of his songs. You're not real happy when he's on Friday because you feel like we don't really get serious about all of these important sporting issues that are on tap.
It's true.
like, what are the Heat going to do in free agency? I don't know. What are they going to do?
It's a hot topic.
You're going to make yourself Meshuggah all offseason over that? Eventually, Ira Winderman will find out, or Scoop Skolnick, and it'll come out. It'll be public, and that'll be that, right? Do they do anything? We thought this was going to be the year, though, Luby. Wasn't this going to be the year that the Heat had positioned themselves to have a ton of cash?
Yes.
And they were going to go after Giannis and anybody else that was available, right? Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, anybody. They thought that they were going to have a shot at, but that didn't happen, right? Instead, they find themselves snookered somewhat. What do you think? What happened to the big plan?
I think it's still in the works.
It's a 2-year teardown.
It was Giannis.
Right?
Giannis was who they were going after. Giannis re-signed, and literally the next year, it proves out to be a good move on his part. As every big star in the NBA gets hurt, clearing a perfect path for him to go and win his first title and make the Bucks a city, Milwaukee, a city that's happier than any city on the planet. So that plan sort of fell through. However, they're going to still have plenty of money. They're going to have more money than they had when they found a way to get Jimmy Butler. So if they can clear cap space and get Jimmy Butler, I think they can do the same thing now. And they now have a Bam and Jimmy Butler, two centerpiece stars where they didn't have any at that point. So I think this is the exact plan they wanted. People are doubting them, which is when Riley seems to do his best work.
Highlights of Antetokounmpo, especially in the final series and those last four games that the Bucks won, looked very much like a Jackie Chan trailer for an upcoming karate movie. No, I mean, he's kicking guys out of the way. It's just absolutely amazing. It makes no difference. It doesn't matter how many guys' bodies are flying. Literally, it does. It looks like the invasion of Omaha Beach there. You don't know how Tom Hanks ever got to the front lines and was able to take out the Germans there that were annihilating everybody. Giannis, pretty much free reign to the basket. Now, some of those moves are legit, but a lot of them, they even have to apologize, right? The Euro step is the single biggest excuse for traveling in the
it's
NBA.
A lot of garbage.
When the announcers go, well, that looked like the Euro step.
It's a load of garbage.
It's like, what? Yeah, no, it's horrible.
Especially when Giannis does it.
It was the worst thing that ever happened.
My favorite is
changing a pivot feet. Yeah.
My favorite is they're showing the replays of Giannis, and they're showing how great he is. And one, they have to stop halfway through because they're like, 1-2, and he made a layup. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess he didn't travel on every play. And then the next two replays, 1-2, and then he takes three more steps, and they like sort of cut out of the replay in the middle because it's openly showing how much he travels.
Sammy Davis Jr. didn't take that many steps when he was tap dancing his way with the Rat Pack to the next bar. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
No, but I don't begrudge him that. Would you want Giannis Antetokounmpo to be the leader of your team? What I like about the kid, he says and does all the right things, does he not? I mean, he's an athlete you can admire. He may have certain limitations in terms of he's never going to be a great outside jump shooter. He made a few shots last night. He was pretty incredible.
Made his free throws, which is what everyone's asking him to do.
Free throws. You would have sworn it was Bill Sharman out there, man, Jerry West.
No, it felt like friggin' Nash, a 90, 50, 40 guy. It was ridiculous.
Calvin Murphy, man, with a baton in his hand, just making free throws while he bounces the ball off his nose. Incredible. Speaking of which, are you going to miss rhythmic gymnastics if they have to cancel that?
No.
COVID-19?
Not at all.
Who came up with that, Luby? That is a very silly looking sport.
It's like synchronized swimming. I'm like, who decided to start dancing in a group in the water?
I do like watching a little water polo.
That's
That's very physical, right? And the under-the-pool camera, you know, the guy that's at the bottom there that has the below-water camera?
Yeah.
That's the guy that's getting all the action. There's a lot of stuff going on here. You like talk about Ben Dreith, man. Nah, he's really giving them the business there. That is not an easy sport to play, man. And plus, you got to swim back and forth. It's a lot easier if you can just stand up. I'm playing that game in a very shallow pool.
Exactly, I was going to say.
Maybe waist high. That's it.
You can't stand. I don't know if they can stand at any point. I think maybe the goalie can stand. Like, no one can stand. You have to keep kicking the whole time.
It's nuts, man. I mean, Diana Nyad would have been good at that game. If she had any kind of a shot. They throw some jellyfish in the water so she feels more comfortable. Speaking of which, I'm going to have to start taking that Prevagen. The memory's going blank. All right, we have a deal. Volkswagen DeForest Files coming up. I got away from the championship game. We would have coronated the Milwaukee Bucks here. I took a different approach today.
Good for you.
The deal Volkswagen DeForest Files. What do you think, Luby?
I mean, I'm proud of you because I didn't. I went with the easy layup and talked all about it in the Luby's Law.
Well, you know, this theme struck me yesterday, that it's nice to see some people exhibiting dignity and class. I know it's golf. All right, you'll get the gist of it when we have the Deal Volkswagen, the Forest Files. That's right around the corner here on the ALT Depot Show. Even Keel Wednesday, Mike Mayo later on at Gambling Gourmet, Jason Cole on football, Ron Rothstein on buckets, Dave Hyde coming up in just a few minutes here, columnist from the Sun Sentinel, and a Marlin ticket giveaway right around 8 o'clock. Be the first caller on that one. You'll get a four-pack of tickets to see the Marlins in action this weekend against the San Diego Padres. Is it still the Friday game we're giving away, Luby?
This Friday.
All right. It'd be nice to get out there. I'm looking forward to it. I want to get out to a game.
Maybe you can watch the Padres. One of the best teams in baseball, with one of the youngest, most exciting players in all of baseball. Right? That's what you're going for?
No, I feel like we're suffering a little Tex Cobb syndrome here. Are we not? We're just blocking punches with our face the entire time.
Yes.
While the entire crowd, including Howard Cosell, is screaming, "Stop it, Padilla! Stop it!" Carlos Padilla, Hall of Fame referee. Let that fight go on. Well, what an atrocity. 15 rounds. Back with more in a moment. Now that.
The time.
Stop it, ref. It's 7:31. Chalk one up for dignity and class. That story in a moment. Hi, Jeff DeForest here for the great people at Deal Volkswagen. Summer is heating up, and so are the great deals on certified pre-owned vehicles at DOVW. It's like getting a new car without paying a new car price. They're basically selling them wholesale to the public, and they all come with a clean Carfax vehicle history report, great mileage, and better prices. Jetta models, Passat models, and Tiguan models, and much more. All at great prices with Volkswagen-backed warranties. Check out the Deal inventory online and see the great quality selection they have. Only showroom quality vehicles, and many with one owner. Real cream puffs and new inventory arriving daily, so check often. Get down to their classic location at 3601 Bird Road and beat the heat in a certified pre-owned VW. You'll be like thousands of happy customers that say, "It's all about the DEEL. Carfax vehicle history reports are based only on information supplied to Carfax. Carfax does not have the complete history of every vehicle. Louis Wiesthaden had every reason to be bitter and upset. A bridesmaid once again, he had led the British Open from the opening round until, when paired with eventual winner Colin Morikawa, he lost the lead and eventually finished third by shooting a 1-over-71 on the final day of the tournament. The third-place finish came on the heels of six runner-up placements in majors to go along with his lone major victory at the Open 11 years ago. The media and the fans are quick to label this type of finish as a failure and cast Usti in an unfavorable light, implying he had choked again and failed to capitalize on yet another golden opportunity to excel. Wiesthaden may have felt that way too. Normally very accessible to the media and gracious with the fans, the South African left the course without speaking to the press, generally regarded as a no-no on the golf circuit, and a move that has been extremely scrutinized of late in light of the Naomi Osaka revelations in tennis. Morikawa, again a humble winner, was an iceman down the stretch, making any number of difficult par saves on the back nine to keep him ahead of Wiesthaden and stave off a late rally of fellow American Jordan Spieth. Asked about playing in the final pairing with Wiesthaden, Morikawa had nothing but high praise for his fallen opponent, saying he wishes he could drive the ball with the consistent accuracy Louis displays, and implying that with his game, Wiesthaden should hardly be denigrated for failure, but respected as a player who will be a factor in many more majors to come. Being gracious in victory may be easy, but we have seen many top stars who were hardly gracious in defeat. Despite his initial reaction, Wiesthaden would later publish a communication via Twitter talking about the class Morikawa displays on the course and offering his congratulations for taking the tournament right out of his grasp. It was a pleasure to see this type of exchange between two players who had just gone head-to-head in an intense and high-level competition. Certainly, it was a far cry from the kind of sore losing posturing and conversation usually associated with Serena Williams, who was coddled to by the media to a fault, especially when she pounced through a bitter press briefing after a loss. In this, hey, look at me, sports world we live in today, it's a pleasure to see both winner and loser conduct themselves in such a dignified fashion. No self-aggrandizing gestures or braggadocio statements. No excuses are diminishing the play of the winner. Like two fighters hugging immediately after the bell of a brutal 12-round bloodbath, Usti and Morikawa displayed the kind of sportsmanship that, sadly, sports has gone away from. It would be a pleasure to see this kind of behavior much more often. Jeff DeForest for the DeForest Files. Jason Taylor, by the way, welcome to the show.
Now we have to get Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
In Dallas.
How is he not? That ain't happening. Yeah.
Uh-oh, got to go.
You'd have to, you'd have to buy the stadium. Can you make enough money in autographs?
Buy the stadium. I can't even buy a Coke in that stadium or Pepsi, whatever they sell over there.
Jason, always a pleasure, my friend.
Thanks
for stopping by. Jason Taylor with us here on Radio Row for Super Bowl 54. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Now that
he wins.
Oh, I tried to beat you to
it.
I'm going to let you do
it.
Okay, back with more in a moment.
Now that.
The time.
There it is.
Nice. It's 9:31. You gotta get
there.
Time.
You go. My bad. I forgot 9:31.
The best way to kick off your day is with Defo plus Luby. We now return to the Defo Show.
Well, once again, everybody, great to have you with us on this Even Keel Wednesday. Even Keel Fish Shack, A1A and Commercial. The ALT Defo Show brought to you by Altitude International with their altitude simulation chambers. You know, we talked about this many times. There have been many greats in this industry. Red Smith, Ring Lardner, certainly Dave Anderson. My man Ron Witt with the Ontario Daily News. Had he not been held back by the limited size of that newspaper circulation, who knows? He might have been as famous as these other guys, but certainly would never have risen to the heights as a columnist that this man has. Dave Hyatt of the Sun Sentinel with us here on 940 Winds, 1230 The Zone around the world on the iHeartRadio app. David, how are you, my friend?
I'm just happy once more to be put in the same paragraph, Ring Lardner and Dave Anderson. Come on now. They're up there. I'm down here, Defo. But I appreciate it. I appreciate the attempt.
I threw in Ron Witt, just because.
And Ron Witt. There we go. He
was one of my early mentors. We were using an afternoon deadline, so we were putting a paper together at night. On the weekends, I guess it came out in the morning, so we're putting a paper together at night, and I would like to let the press room go. This was when you had, like, guys assembling the paper in the press room, and you always wanted to be friendly with those guys if you were in any kind of editorial capacity, because, you know, they could really mess your life up and make it miserable if they were mad at you. So I like to let them go early, and Ron would always caution me. He would say, what if the Dodger plane crashes? And, you know, in the last, like, 15 minutes that we could have held the paper up so that we could have gone right to the deadline. And I would just roll the dice on that, take my chances. Although that would have been El Finito,
right?
If the other papers had that. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I remember walking through Iowa City, my first job out of college, 2 years in Iowa City, in the dead of winter at 4 o'clock in the morning because I had to go in and lay out the paper and do exactly that, have them – they. People pasted it up. I mean, we're talking Corona typewriter age, right? I mean, the Stone Age of journalism. A little after Ring Lardner, but not too far.
Long time ago for me, but things have certainly changed. And now the landscape, though, and you're great at characterizing what's going on the South Florida sporting landscape. And I saw you had an article about this Xavien Howard situation with the Dolphins. Now, we just had Jason Taylor on. Imagine if they had to deal Jason Taylor in a contractual dispute. Do you see any possibility that would happen with Xavien Howard, who, the guy was great last year. He was absolutely dynamite. You would pay money to watch this guy play.
I want to say no, and I don't think the Dolphins want to trade him because they have to win now, right? I mean, the past two years of, boy, they're really, aren't they cute? They're really improving. The plan's working. Now they have to win. Okay, their expectations, playoff expectations, and who's your best player? Xavien Howard. So they don't want to trade him, I'm sure. Okay, the question is, Xavien Howard, how upset is he over, first of all, the Byron Jones situation, where Byron Jones was given a bigger contract than him? His role, is he happy with that role? Will he, you'd think he would be. I mean, on one hand, the Dolphins have given him what every player wants. You know, when it came up time for his contract, he was made the biggest, the best paid cornerback in the game. And then he was given really the prime role on the defense to show his talents, you know, shut down corner. And he did last year. 10 interceptions, 20 passes defended. He was as impactful as any defensive player in the league. On the other hand, everybody could understand why Xavien Howard's a little miffed when he's playing like that, and yet the Dolphins pay somebody else playing opposite him in the same position more. And imagine being in an office and you're out producing everybody, and you're the reason the company's, you know, the prime reason that things are going well, and somebody else is making more money. You're not going to be real happy. So, but no, I don't think they will trade him. I don't. I'm sure they don't want to trade him. The question going into training camp is how much of a situation is Xavier Howard going to make this? You know, if at all, I have no idea. I'm sure he'll show up. Because it's $50,000 a day fine that cannot be forgiven, and so he'll show up. The question is, what does he do when he shows up? Yeah,
unfortunate to see that situation develop. You know, and I always have the words of Jimmy Johnson ringing in my ears: "You always overpay in free agency." You would think that players that have just recently signed might understand that it's going to evolve, and the next guy to get a big contract, it happens with quarterbacks all the time, is going to get the fattest one. And people will be talking about that and saying, oh, this guy's making more money than anybody in history. And yet it does hurt. I mean, it's the story of my life, Dave. I don't know about you. I mean, when you look over at Winderman, do you see him making like double your salary?
I'm really upset. I'm really upset, you know, when I look around the office. Yeah. And, we're talking peanuts, you know. They get 1.25 peanut to my 1 peanut, you know, as opposed to what Xavier Howard's making, $12 million a year on base salary this year. That's, you know, he already got his
I could live with that
contract signing. I might be able to live with that. On the other hand, there's big egos, and when you play the free agent game like the Dolphins did, and you sign guys to big contracts, there's a domino effect in the locker room, and here's one of the outgrowths of that.
Do you ever see, and have you ever seen, a town in a fever pitch like Milwaukee was? Can you ever see a scene like that taking place here, where you have like 65,000 people outside the arena going nuts and watching a game like that, even though there was no guarantee they were going to win that ball game? And so, you know, they could have been, you know, largely wasting their time. They could have even lost the series. But do you ever think you would see support for a team, a South Florida team, at that level?
Well, probably not, because, look, Milwaukee hadn't won in, what, 50
years?
50
years it was,
And it's a small market. There are a lot of great things to love about that. Giannis stayed in Milwaukee. And as opposed to doing what most big stars do in the NBA, which is as soon as they can get their walking papers, they go to a Heat. I mean, we love it.
Yeah.
We love the fact that these, but there's something, nice that Giannis stayed there and in a place, you know, let's face it. How many guys would stay there in the NBA? You've seen James Harden move around. He didn't like Oklahoma, or he got traded from Oklahoma City, but Kevin Durant's moved around. I mean, that's the way of the NBA now. So that was nice, but as far as 65,000, I don't think you'll create a small town feel like that in South Florida. On the other hand, remember when the Marlins won their first World Series?
Yep.
In 97, and there was such a crazy parade afterwards. Somebody got run over, and I remember somebody asked Leland about it. He looked at, he said, "Well, that's part of it." As if, you know, the zaniness, over celebration leads to things like that. So, I mean, you think of the Heat parades, and they were crazy, but 65,000 people outside arena might trump all that.
We're wrapping up here with Dave. Hi, 9 for the Win. So this on the iHeartRadio app. You brought up the Heat as a place where a lot of times these guys go. Before we let you go, I got to do my weekly Heat, Dave Hyde, every time we talk with you, update, because the Whale news is sort of simmering. I am curious what Giannis being able to do with winning does for Damian Lillard and his frustrations. But what are you hearing? What are your thoughts on what the Heat could do this offseason? It feels like that he would be one of those destinations the Lillard would like to go to. And it feels like the Heat are really quiet, which usually is when Riley does his best damage.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Look, Riley does magic, right? He had no salary cap money, and he got Jimmy Butler to come here on a max contract. So I'm not dismissing the ability to maneuver things and Riley doing it. But when you look at the Heat right now, I think they still have five guys under contract. And they have very little salary cap money to play with. And so who are you going to trade for Damian Lillard? Mm-hmm. You know, you have Tyler Hero. That's your big name, unless you want to trade Jimmy Butler or Bam. And, you know, does that really improve things if you have to trade either of those? So I'll never dismiss the ability of Pat Riley to pull a whale out of a hat, but I just don't understand what they have right now that could get them a Damian Lillard. So, you know, I just don't think this is an offseason winner. They're going to get that big whale, but I tell you what, you put Damian Lillard on this team, and okay, it's go time at that point. But I don't see it happening.
All right, one quick thing, and we have Dave Hyde with us from the Sun Sentinel, 940 Wins, 12:30 The Zone, around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Is it time to consider removing the sharp objects from Don Mattingly's office? and how do you feel about our deal, Volkswagen Run for 71? That's looking a little dicey, also.
Yeah, what are we at now? I know the needle's not moving.
Yeah, I think we had 40 wins the last time I checked, and I've been afraid to look at the standings. Yeah.
This is
we're going south, though. I mean, not a good start out of the chute here after the All-Star game. That's for sure.
Yeah, and between not just the losses, but, you know, the Chisholm got hurt, Jazz got hurt, and then Sandy Alcantara goes on the bereavement list, and they're losing players that they need, and so they had the fifth going into after the All-Star break, they had the fifth best pitching ERA as a team, and the 28th hitting in the league. They ranked 28th in hitting, and it was obvious. Okay, go out. If this was a real season and a real franchise as far as not having some process of a rebuild, you'd say go get a hitter, but we know what's going on here. It's all some crazy 5-year rebuild, and then you wake up and you say, okay, where are they? They got pitching, now can they get hitting? And they're going to have awful stretches like this when they get exposed over a long season because they're not a real roster yet.
It's kind of like when you bowl that 110 in the middle of a 3-game series, and no matter what, that 18-run game is going to kill that earned run average. I don't know if they're standing anywhere near 15.
18-1, I turned it on. It was 12. It was 12-0, Defo, and I said, "No, I don't think so."
No,
no. I got in the car at 10 zip. Yeah, and then it was only the third inning, so I was like, "Well, this one's gone." All right, Dave, we love having you on the show. It's always a pleasure. Great work in the Sun Sentinel as always. You can find the article online too, sunsentinel.com. Dave Hyde, brilliant columnist, many years here in South Florida, and always a great opinion. Thanks so much for being with us here on the program.
Thanks for having me, Defo. See you, Luby.
Be well, Hyde man.
All right, Dave Hyde, ladies and gentlemen. We'll never have anything like they had in Milwaukee, Luby.
No.
That's not in character here in South Florida. It just doesn't work that way. Even the parades are dull by comparison.
Exactly. After the game, after the wins, we do celebrate the win with a pretty interesting and fun parade.
And
even then, it's not the same thing.
All kinds of stuff.
It's not the same thing. I mean, and during it, we're not going to go watch. I'm not going to stand outside with a bunch of randoms watching on a screen. I'll watch in my house or go to a bar. Like, why would that? I don't get. I'm not going to lie. I don't care where I am. Like, why am I standing outside watching?
Standing outside, crammed in there like a maniac.
I think it's hot.
Screaming from the minute the ball goes up in the air for the opening tip, and this Foster guy, wow. That's really like, having Don King pick the referee, is it not, for a fight? this Foster guy being out there against Chris Paul. Now 2-13 or 14.
That's bad.
Games where he's a lead official.
Really bad.
He wanted to make sure that they won in 5, huh? Or 6. All right, back with more in a moment. We're going to continue Jason Cole in the 8 o'clock hour. Marlins ticket giveaway right around the corner, so stay tuned for that. We'll give you the number to call. Ron Rothstein later on Baskets. Mike Mayo, the Gambling Gourmet, and Even Keel Wednesday, the ALT Defo Show, continues in a moment. Now that.
The time.
7:55.
Told you everything I know. I told him everything I know. I have no explanation for what happened. I don't have an explanation for what happened.
There is nothing better than Defo. It's now time for the Defo Show.
Stick around. Giving away Marlins Padres tickets in just a few moments here on the show. Then later on this hour, Jason Cole on the National Football League. Ron Rothstein, original coach of the Miami Heat on Buckets. Later on, Mike Mayo, the Gambling Gourmet as well. Marlin ticket giveaway on tap next. Now that.
The time.
It's 8:01.